We're going to talk to one of the co-authors of an extraordinary best-selling book, The Heretics of Finance, Conversations with Leading Practitioners of Technical Analysts. I'd like for this author to give us her name and then give me an overview. Give me your name and give me an overview of this extraordinary book. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on your show, Dr. Jones. My name is Yasmina Hasanhodzic, and I'm one of the co-authors of the book, The Heretics of Finance, which is a collection of the interviews with 13 leading practitioners of technical analysis. And as we all know, there is a striking dichotomy in the financial world. On the one hand, academics tend to follow the efficient markets hypothesis, which, roughly speaking, stipulates that markets are unpredictable in a sense that there is no way to forecast future prices based on the previous ones and thereby make a profit, which is precisely what technical analysts do. So in order to bridge this gap between the finance academia and the technical analysis world, we are in the process of conducting a study of technical analysis, and this book is the first volume of that study, where we actually go and try to find out directly from the horse's mouth what is it exactly these people do.
Now, I noticed at the beginning of the book, you dedicated this book to a person you call the tireless and eloquent champion of technical analysts. Who in the world is Mike Epstein?
Mike Epstein is someone who has contributed a great deal to technical analysis over his distinguished career on Wall Street. He was a trader, a practitioner of technical analysis, and most recently, after he retired from trading, he was a visiting scholar at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is where I got my PhD degree working under Andrew Lowe. And it is, in fact, thanks to Mike Epstein that I got interested in this fascinating field of technical analysis, and he kind of, got us started on this fascinating path of discovery of technical analysis. And it is really thanks to him that we were able to get these extraordinary technicians to dedicate their time, and it was a lot of time for these interviews, 3 to 4 hours per person.
Now, how did you jump from what was computer science and electrical engineering? It seemed like you would have got a PhD in finance. So how did you jump from engineering to finance?
I personally have always maintained this, a parallel interest in economics and finance on one hand and engineering on the other hand. But there's a lot of overlap, and especially now in the computer age, in the age of technology, the two disciplines are coming closer and closer together. And what engineers are using to analyze, for example, communication systems, those same tools, those same mathematical tools or models can be used to analyze financial markets.
Now, one of the big questions I had as I was going through your best-selling book, The Heretics of Finance, is one problem that most people don't want to talk about nowadays is integrity and reliability of raw information. I mean, there is so much corruption with people today in terms of them being forthright and honest. How can I analyze raw data unless I know for sure through third-party confirmation that the raw data is true?
So there are some sources that are more reliable than others of the raw data. But still, as you are pointing out, even though that are deemed reliable right now, can always at some point become corrupt without you being aware of it. But there are some things you can do. For example, you can get the same data from the different sources and cross-check it with each other. Or, rather than relying kind of blindly on a simulation or on a quantitative model, also try to have an understanding, have some expectation of what you expect that data is going to, the kind of results that the data is going to produce, have a hypothesis, and always have some understanding of reality and what's going on, and see a kind of use the data in conjunction with that as opposed to just using the data mining.
Now, the technical analysts that you feature in your book, what qualified them to be a part of this Hall of Fame group of people?
They are all people who have had extraordinary success with technical analysis. So we want to go to them and see what is it that they do and how is it that they apply technical analysis, because if you read, I don't know, three different books on dental analysis, you will find a very likely three different explanations of the same phenomenon. So there's a lot of heterogeneity in this field. It's kind of, dental analysis has always been part of the financial industry folklore and has never been formalized. So to really understand what they're doing, we decided to go to the best of the them and find out how do they practice their craft. And as I mentioned before, Mike Epstein was the one who really helped us select, you know, who are the people who are living now and have contributed a great deal to dental analysis. And of course, you know, we have 13 in this book. There is many other ones that are not in there, but, you know, it's a start.
Now, does some of these practitioners use things like astrology, luck, and some unsanctioned actions in order for them to predict what's going to take place?
So it's very interesting that you bring that point, because astrology is precisely one of the things why dental analysis is so ostracized in the academic world, even in some parts of the practitioner world. So historically, dental analysis is a very old discipline. Dental analysis is basically looking at past prices to predict future ones. And people have been doing this since the times of the ancient Babylon. They have been recording prices continuously through centuries with the purpose of predicting them. When the prices fluctuate a little bit faster, they record them a little bit faster on these Babylonian tablets, and then they analyze the movements through history of the prices. And in the past, when we didn't have computers, in like 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, and a bit more recently as well, using astrology in conjunction with dental analysis was not something bizarre, was not something outrageous. Even now, we use computers to generate random numbers, and perhaps at that time, astrology was a way of generating a random number and to have some random input in a model, which we have now as well, using the computers. So a lot of the times when people now think about dental analysis, they associate with astrology, even though most of these practitioners don't use astrology as one of the inputs of dental analysis. In fact, they agree that, you know, astrology should not be part of dental analysis, and they don't understand why it's classified with dental analysis nowadays. But at the same time, these people are very open-minded. So, you know, if there is something out there that works, they are going to include it in their model. They are not closed-minded, but they pretty much across the board agree that astrology should not be part of dental analysis.
The name of the best-selling book is entitled The Heretics of Finance, Conversations with Leading Practitioners of Technical Analysts. Give me a closing comment and tell me how to get a copy of this book and include any website if there's any available.
So the book has been published by Bloomberg Press in January. And in January of this year, it's available hopefully in your local bookstore and certainly on Amazon.com. We are also, as I briefly talked about the history of dental analysis, this is our second book on the field, and really the goal is to kind of bridge this gap between the finance academia and the practitioners of dental analysis with the series of books on this fascinating craft. Finally, I would like to thank you, Dr. Jones, very much for having me on your show today.